of what true pastors are about. Let me also take this opportunity to thank you all for praying for myself and for Louise. We have come through a very difficult, challenging time with my health, and it was really reassuring to know that you all here have been praying for us, and I very much appreciate it. Thank you for that. I want to spend a few moments just to encourage us in terms of this text. Some 700 and some say 50 years before Jesus, Isaiah prophesied these words from the Old Testament. And here's Jesus now picking up the scroll, as it were, in the synagogue and reading them to the amazement of all the people in the audience. It wasn't just an ordinary reading. It was reading with power, with authority and significance as he read them. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. A message, a scripture of hope. That's at the heart of it. Hope. Hope. So when I hear from Brian tonight, that's the reality of those texts. When a mother emailed me and thanked me for being there for her daughter, it wasn't me, it was street pastors, and saying she could sleep at night because she knows that there are people out there looking out for, caring for her daughter, her friends. It's a message of hope. And I want us to recognize tonight that when Jesus read these words and when Isaiah prophesied these words, he was speaking to the church. He was speaking to those who trust him and believe in him. The Spirit of the Lord. People say to me, "You must be brave." I said, "I'm not brave. I'm just an ordinary guy who loves God and allow God to work through his Spirit." Now, sometimes in this Christian tradition, the moment you speak about the Spirit, people say, "Well, I'm not charismatic." But I'm not talking about charismatic. Or they say, "I'm not Pentecostal." The Spirit of the Lord was not just there for Pentecostal or charismatic. The Spirit of the Lord was there long before the charismatic movement and the Pentecostal movement. The Spirit of the Lord is there for the body of Christ. Because the task that God has called us for, it's an extraordinary task. We cannot do it. We cannot do it on our own. And so God says, "I will give you my dunamis, my power, my authority, my ability, so that you could go without fear and anxiety and serve and bring hope and bring peace to people." We could all put our names there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon John. The Spirit of the Lord is upon James. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Yinka. Whatever your name is, the Spirit of the Lord wants to be upon us. I met a woman, she was in her early 90s. She was a street pastor. I was fascinated. And some of you are 78 and 18, you think you're old. Get a life. Get a life. She was 90. And her vicar says, "And why do you do this?" She said, "Because the Lord has called me to do this." At 90, she recognized that there was something of the Spirit of the Lord upon her. At 90. And you know, at 90, the young girls and the young boys would come to her, and she was Nan. She was Nan at 90. She wasn't tucked up in bed with the holics. She was out there making a difference. Now, some people say, well, what do you do? You have 90-year-olds. Don't let no one tell you that you're too old to make a difference. You can make a difference. When I was a young lad and I went on school journeys, it was an old boy, Pop, we used to call him. Old boy had a cigarette fag at the end of his mouth, and he taught me, spent time with me to play snook and billiard. Because I grew up without a father, but this guy was doing what my father should have done. And also he did taught me how to play snooker and billiard. But that left a memory of acceptance, affirmation, confidence. And so Jesus says, is the least we do, not the most, is the least we do to an individual that counts in the kingdom of God. I meet Christians, you know, there are many types of Christians, but there are two types I want to emphasize. You go to a church and they say 80% of any congregation are spectators. 80% of a congregation are spectators. They just look on. They just want to hear a nice Sunday sermon. And then they go home and have roast minister for lunch. Talk about the sermon was useless. And the organist did very well. They're spectators. And then you get the 20% who are doing everything. They're cleaning the church, they're playing in the band, they're doing the PA system, they're all kind of things. So we have a lot of spectators in the body of Christ. But I want to challenge us, because you see, when Jesus spoke about the Spirit of the Lord's upon me, he was saying that I'm responding to God. I'm submitting my will, I'm submitting my gifts, my talents, my ability, I'm submitting my life to God, and his Spirit will give me the grace and the power to fulfill it. Let me just encourage us as Christians. God never calls to sit in church and get woodworm in our posterior. God's call is for service. God's called you and I for service. All of us are supposed to be engaged in serving the Lord. And that manifests in serving our community, whatever it is, but God's called us to be involved. And you know what the Bible says? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So when Jesus was reading these words, he was declaring to the audience, he was declaring to the heavens, he was declaring to the disciples and to the people, I have made myself available for God to use me. These men and women, their uniform, they say, I've made myself available. We have people in wheelchairs who are street pastors. We have people who are partially blind who are street pastors. We have people with various disabilities as street pastors. Why? Because they say, we will not allow our disability to hinder us from serving God. Why? His Spirit is upon us. He gives us the courage. Now, we all know that for the last 18 months that all of us have been through something of a challenge with COVID-19. We all know that. And we all know that it's been a time where we've asked ourselves, what is it all about? We felt totally out of control. We felt uncertain about today and tomorrow. We felt powerless at times in terms of what's taking place before us on a daily basis. But I want to remind us about scriptures. You see, when Jesus was anointed there, he was assured that the Spirit of God was upon him, but he was assured that the Father was with him. And here what the Word of God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is a helper. I will not fear what man could do to me, what COVID-19 could do to me. We need to take comfort, and we need to be encouraged that whatever we go through, God is with us. God is with us. The Bible says this, Jesus is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forevermore. And we also need to recognize that strength and growth comes only through continuous effort and struggle. It comes. I want to encourage us, have a look and see what God is doing. Don't look down, look up. Look up to the Lord. Look up. It's important for us to recognize that nothing is stronger than a small hope that does not give up. Small hope. Jesus said, my confidence is in the Father. He gives me through his Spirit that strength, that tenacity to work and to do his will. There are three things that I want to encourage us before I sit down that we need to constantly do. Three things that Jesus did as well. First of all, Jesus was constantly praying. We as Christians, we pray. To some people, they think, why do you guys pray? They're just words. They're not words. First of all, our prayers are expressive from our hearts. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what the Bible says. God grants the good desires of our hearts. What is the desires of our hearts? You know, I walk in my borough in London, I walk the streets of London, and I observe, I meet people, I talk to people, whether they're homeless, whether they're young people in gangs, or whether they're business people. I meet all kinds of people. And you know what happens when we begin to pray and we talk to people? We get something called compassion. Compassion. When we pray, it gives us the capacity to be compassionate. We're not selfish people living for ourselves, me, myself, and I, but we begin to develop the capacity for people in our community, in our society, and we ask ourselves, God, what can I do? And we ask God, God, give me the tenacity, the strength, your Spirit to do something in the kingdom. That's what Christianity is about. That's what Christianity is about. When we pray, when you and I pray, I want to encourage you, pray. Develop a lifestyle of prayer. I've been praying with a guy, Neil. He was a missionary for some years in the Philippines. And Neil and I have been praying now for 30 years, every Tuesday morning, 6:30. We meet for prayer. Why do I pray? Because I know that God does nothing but by prayer. I know that God hears my heart desire. I know that. I'm praying for Boris Johnson, his cabinet, that they'll get it right. I'm praying for Professor Whitting and this science guy, that they'll get it right. I'm praying for industry that we'll recover, with Shishina, that we'll get the right policy. I'm praying for businesses. People are struggling. I'm praying for young people with mental health issues. God wants us to be a praying people. I wrote to Presley Dick, who I know personally, in the midst of all the Black Lives Matters, in the midst of all the challenges for police, and I said, please be encouraged, we're praying for you. Our police officers, they need to know that we're praying for them. They need to know that. Our counselors, our mayors, they need to know that their people got their back spiritually. Whether or not they go to church, that's not the point. The point is that the church is praying earnestly that God will help them to make the right decisions. Jesus was a prayer. He was constantly praying in the morning. Now, you know, if you didn't notice, I'm black, okay? And it's interesting because over the years, the traditions, I'm a Methodist by birth, so when I want my birth certificate and official papers in the cabin, I go to the Methodist church. They've got everything about me, right? But you know, I've learned to appreciate the fact that God has all kinds of people in the kingdom. Now, I go to some churches and we have a prayer meeting. And let me tell you, it's pretty darn boring. I'm saying, flipping that, this is boring. Come on. Prayer is powerful when it comes from the heart. It's not about whether you are charismatic or Pentecostal or what. Let me tell you, when you're excited about something, you pray it out, you talk it out. I was at Wembley, sitting down in the corporate box. A young guy took me there for a match, and I was more intrigued with the corporate scene than I was with the match. Because I saw executive guys, and they were effing and blinding, they were screaming and shouting. And I said, next time I go to church, I won't effing and blind, I'm going to get excited. Come on, guys. When we're passionate about prayer, we get excited. We need to turn the notch up a little bit in terms of our prayers. You know, some people, they get excited and they do this. What's the excitement? And then you go to some churches, you go to some Caribbean church or African church, and you see people excited, man, they're hitting it. Forget the Blues Brothers, they're deep in that. But they're pressing into God. Because you see, prayer brings not only intimacy, but it develops our relationship with God. We submit our will, ourselves, our lives. Fear goes because we get to know the God of Abraham and Isaac. We get to know the God who says, I'm going to anoint you and I'm going to be with you. I will never forsake you. We get to know the God that dispels fear and anxiety. That's the God. That's what prayer does. And the Bible encourages men ought always to pray and not to faint. Encourages to pray and not to faint. And so it's important for us to understand that we've got to rekindle. I want to encourage you, rekindle prayer. Stop listening to the news about how many people die and how many people in hospital. Use the opportune time to pray and ask God, God, do something in our nation. Do something. Ask God to work and to move. And hear what the Bible says. If my people were called by my name and humble themselves, and if they will pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. And I will forgive their sins and heal them. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to their prayers, to the prayers that they make in this place. It's important. And then the second thing I want is leadership. I want to encourage all of us in leadership to be bold, to be passionate, but also to be visionaries. To be visionaries. There's nothing worse than when you've got sight but you cannot see. What is it that God is saying to us? Look at the opportunity. I say to street pastors, I say to company directors, I say, look, there are opportunities. COVID-19 created chaos, but out of chaos comes opportunities. Opportunities is here. Opportunities to help NHS England. Opportunities to help homelessness. Opportunities to help in terms of mental health. Opportunities to sit and to get beside families and say, how can I support you with the grace and the anointing of God upon me? And let's not be arrogant. I don't go and talk to people because I want to beat them over the head with a 4x4 Bible. I want to minister to people because I'm really concerned about people's well-being. I'm concerned that they have a life. I'm concerned that they are loved and they know that there are people there, whether they look like me or not, that there are people out there who genuinely cares for them. When you and I walk the street, people say, he cares. I've been affirmed several times on the streets. In fact, I've came to the conclusion that I get more affirmation from on the streets than sometimes I get in the church. I'm on the street and the guy says, wait, mate, what are you doing? I said, I'm a street pastor. Which church are you from? I said, all of them. Now, isn't it nice when we can say we're from all of them? It's beautiful. Seeing a Baptist and a Catholic walking down the street, you know, that's power. Okay, that's interesting. And then he says, mate, did you get paid for this, mate? And I said, no, we don't. He said, you're an FA flipping nut, am I? I'm saying, no, I'm not. Then you know, and then afterwards he says, mate, I think you're effing the geezer. Coming by your pint. And I'm thinking to myself, no one in the church has ever told me that before. You see, people recognize Jesus when they see it in a very practical, relevant way. Leadership says, I'm going to lead people to be relevant, having a bearing upon society for the good. Leadership says, I am going to lead by example. I am going to be an influence for good, bringing purpose, bringing direction, bringing motivation, bringing accomplishment, and bringing people with me to bring glory and honor to God. The final thing that I want to say to us tonight is this. The people are looking for men and women with humility. People are looking for men and women, particularly from the church. The church has been known for the wrong reasons. Many times people know more about what we disagree about than what we agree about. I happen to think the church is a beautiful place. There's some beautiful people in the church. There are one or two nutters in the church. But I actually believe when you think about the people who want to do good. Someone called me a do-gooder. I said, yes, I'm trying to do good. Because Jesus went around doing good. But people are looking for people who've got humility. I don't know it all. There's some things I'm still trying to figure out. I don't understand it all. I'm still willing to learn. I'm still willing to get beside people, whatever condition they're in, whatever they believe, whatever lifestyle they have, and just walk with them. Because I'm looking and thinking about the humanity. Isn't it powerful when the Bible says this, for God so loved this world, he gave. When the Bible speaks about grace, unmerited favor. Remember, when you and I walk the streets, we're showing forth God's grace. When you and I reach out and touch someone, whether it's a young girl who needs help to get home into a cab, whether it's a night star who's family is in a mess, they've got challenges, and we're talking to them beneath that rough and tough facade. There is something that's crying out, there's a person where, when we stand with them, when that manager of that club or that pub is there and saying, look, could you pray? Remember me, remember my wife's got cancer. You know, that's grace. That's us. That's us. I wish we had at least 10,000 street pastors across Lancashire.
In time, brother, in time.
I wish we had men and women, more men and women, who say for 18 months, once a month, I'm willing to serve, visibly walk the streets. But that's what Jesus is all about. The anointing of God was upon him, that he may do the will of the Father. I love Jesus and his ministry. Great example to me. I want to be like Jesus. Compassionate, loving and kind, non-judgmental, caring, being there for people, whoever they are, wherever they are, being there. And as a street pastor, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. You're being like Jesus. It was Cresswell Dickin, our conference in Manchester in the cathedral, said this, every footprint leaves a trace. Every footprint leaves a trace. Brian heard a voice of one person, felt a touch of one person. That person never knew, didn't jot what she did, what she said, but Brian felt it. And it manifested into what we heard and saw tonight. God wants more people to reach out, to touch, to speak those words of hope and peace. And as we do that, He will be glorified. My last words to you. Be not weary of doing good. Keep going. If you're not a street pastor, we've got pen, we've got paper, we've got a sign up. We could do online training now, or we could meet. I challenge you for 18 months, once a month. 18 months, once a month, that's all. Become a street. Put that uniform on. Your life will never be the same again. May the Lord bless you all. Mayor, Deputy Mayor, thank you all for your support. Police Service, Andy, Chief Constable, thank you for your support. Thank you, pastors and ministers. Thank you, street pastors, those who are praying for us, those prayer pastors. Thank you. Thank you for the coordinators. Thank you. Thank you for the families who support and encourage us. Thank you very much. Let's keep going. I'm so excited. God's given me a second chance. I'm going to make full use of it. I'm going to keep going. So let's keep going. Amen.